Connoisseurs, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, my favorite sack of shit.
Connor McDuff!
Connor McDuff. Well, can you believe that we're 41 episodes in and we've never reviewed a Pixar film?
What, haven't we?
I don't think so. Oh, well, there wasn't one last year, and that's when we started.
Oh, that's right, because Inside Out was meant to come out last year. That's why there's two this year. That's right.
Yeah.
I remember now.
I just feel like they've just always been there. Like, I feel like there's always a Pixar film coming out. Like,
always.
And they're always great. So it's always something to look forward to. And ever since, I think, what was the last one? Monsters University? It would have been,
yeah.
And fuck, that feels like ages ago.
It was 2013. It was ages ago. Fucking yonks.
Yonks and yonks ago. Yonks. What a word.
Oh, man. Yeah, Monsters University was okay. Like, it wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it. I like Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Wasn't like a fantastic, like, standout Pixar film, I think. It's probably one of my least, like, you know, down the bottom tier.
Yeah, well, from memory, I can barely remember it, but I remember liking it. Monsters Inc. is like engraved in my mind for how fantastic
Monsters, yeah. Know,
so
put that thing back where it came from, also help me. Oh man.
She's out of my hair.
Pixar just make, like, every time we bring up Pixar films, we say the same
We go on a positive rant.
Yeah, they just make great shit. There's only, like, for a company that has made an excessive amount of animated films, they've made probably Cars 2 and Brave, I do not like either of them. Like, I don't like those two movies. Everything else they've done, I've thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, well, I don't dislike Brave or Cars 2. Actually, I quite liked Cars 2, but I don't have a movie that I'm like, fuck, they really dropped the ball on that one. Brave's probably the closest. Like, Brave was still an okay film, but just didn't feel like a Pixar film.
Well, they know their audience, you know. I think sometimes they're just making films for kids, and when they do, we're kind of like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah.
I want complex existential, like, situations going on here. What the fuck's going on?
Well, yeah, Brave was more like a DreamWorks film, very much so.
Yeah.
It's funny, you know, going into the cinema today to watch this, Inside Out came out at the same time as Minions, which is Minions is DreamWorks, isn't it? Is that a DreamWorks one? So it's like the two big dogs going up against each other. But
Minions will win.
You reckon Minions will win?
Well, like, it's Inside Out isn't a franchise, which I can respect because I don't like the excessive amount of franchising, and it's Minions. Like, the craze for Minions, it reminds me of Smurfs. Like, I feel like 30 years ago, this is the equivalent. Smurfs is to Minions. Like, everyone wants to buy the fucking, the little collectibles and all that shit. And it's just a money-making machine, these little things. It doesn't matter what, what happens in the movie. People are going to love it because it's about these little yellow motherfuckers.
Yeah, that's it.
So,
well, that's,
you know, like, that's, it's, I just, it'll top it for sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. I'm fucking pumped as to go see Minions. I'm seeing it tomorrow night. But I thought this one would be the better, probably film of the two. Whereas Minions will just be a shit ton of fun, which is all I want from it, to be honest. Like, I don't expect a Pixar film from Minions. Mm. I just expect them to say banana a lot and do some crazy shit, you know?
Do some fun stuff. Yeah, it'd be a DreamWorks film pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah,
only really Shrek really stands out as a DreamWorks film that really kind of hit the nail, I guess. Like, all their films are really good. I just don't think there's many that were too. They never really do what Pixar does.
No, they don't get not as deep, and they do have their emotional points, which is always a staple of Pixar shit, but not to the same level, I don't feel.
Yeah. Shrek, Madagascar's DreamWorks, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I think my favorite DreamWorks is Penguins so far.
Penguins is great.
Mm. But completely different, like you said, to Pixar. Different, a different
yeah.
which is good.
It's just silly. It's just good fun.
Yeah, yeah, we don't need another Pixar. Pixar does Pixar. DreamWorks does Minions.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, have you been watching anything else since we reviewed Jurassic World?
Not at all, to be honest, because as we record this, Jurassic World was the start of the week. We're doing so many podcasts this week. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're jumping ahead.
This is our fourth.
Yeah. This is our fourth this week. This is a Thursday. We both went and saw the very first session of Inside Out so we could get this done because Connor's going to work later this afternoon and I need time to edit these before I fuck off to the Americas in 2 days. So we're going to have...
Yeah, but, Jesus Christ.
But don't you worry. We're still going to have episodes every week. It's up to Connor to get them up. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. But, now I have pressure on me.
But yeah, I haven't been watching anything other than Jurassic World. I went and seen it again in IMAX. Fucking awesome. But on a Jurassic World related story, going to the cinema this morning, I got there a little bit early and I went to Hoyts at High Point down here and they just have the longest fucking ads at the start of the movie. It's half an hour to 40 minutes almost, I'm thinking. Like, it's just so long. So I was like, fuck this. I'm going to go try and play on the claw machine because I had a bunch of coins. And sure enough, what's in the claw machine but a bunch of Jurassic World fucking stuffed dinosaurs. And I said, I need to win one of these. Jesus. So there's an Indominus Rex in there. I was fucking going for it. I missed it. It kept dropping it. I'm getting angry. I'm running out of coins. And then... in a way that I picked up the Indominus Rex, it kind of moved this raptor, and it was a blue raptor, and it just was in the perfect plucking position. I grabbed that motherfucker, and now I have a blue raptor. I'm fucking happy. This is the best day of my life.
Oh, God. You and Jurassic World, it's an unbreakable bond, it seems.
It really is. It really is. Well, let's get straight into Inside Out, then. We're talking Pixar, so I'm sure we've both got a fair bit to say about this bad boy. I haven't had time to write a summary, so do you want to just fucking do it?
Yeah, fuck you.
Buck past.
No, Inside Out follows Riley, and we discover that everyone in the world is, run on the, their personality, their whole lives are run by... a group of emotions. You've got joy, sadness, disgust,
fear.
Fear, and anger. And they run your life. So they all make up who you are and they help you. They pretty much make up what you do and who you are. And what happens is joy in Riley's little mind really doesn't ever want sadness to intervene because she feels as if when sadness intervenes, everything's bad because being sad is bad. So Joy is quite the control freak and doesn't ever let Riley express her emotions. And it turns out Riley, very realistically, is moving in a state to San Francisco from Minnesota, I think. And, that's a big move for an 11-year-old girl. And so... she's feeling a lot of different emotions and Joy is the only one allowing her to feel any certain way. So she's kind of trying to constantly make Riley feel happy, which is causing Riley to pent up her emotions and become depressed. And the normal story is Riley pents up her emotions, becomes depressed and eventually tries to run away from home. And eventually she changes her mind. She comes home and she has finally lets everything out and has a breakdown. The inside of her head, that breakdown is this massive, massive adventure where joy and sadness get sucked up into long-term memory because sadness out of impulse, because joy is not letting her express her emotions, sadness is wanting to touch all these happy memories to make them sad so Riley can express herself. And they end up into a bit of a fight and they get sucked up this tube that takes all the memories to long-term memory. And they need to get all the way back from long-term memory, which is represented as this huge maze, all the way back to their headquarters where they can save the day and restore the long-term memory to what it was. A lot of shit happens. They meet Bing Bong, her imaginary friend growing up. And now because Riley's too, a lot older, she doesn't need Bing Bong anymore. Spoilers ahead, but Bing Bong gives up his life to save Joy. at one point. And, you know, by the end, Joy realizes that sadness is needed in Riley's life to fill her out, and sadness is required. You feel better after you become emotional, and so Joy opens up, and they all share the control of Riley's emotions equally by the end. And yeah, that's a pretty broad plot synopsis there, but I don't really want to go into it too much because it's a really big movie.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, the final thing is that you're being able to mix all the emotions as little Riley's growing up.
Yeah.
Becoming more mature. It's not just angry or scared. It's like a bit of both. And they're able to all come into one little, you know, and that's the whole thing is that, yeah, you look back on your fond memories with happiness, but there's also that pang of sadness of, you know, oh, I miss that and I miss this and what, you know, what led up to the happy memories and all that. It's very, very
smart. Disgust or fear or anger.
Well, fuck, man, this is great because this is going back to, we've talked about Pixar a lot. And my favorite aspect of Pixar is how they always seem to set up a world inside our world. You know, that, you know, could be a living, breathing organism in itself, like the life of toys, the life of the monster under the bed. Now we've got the life of emotions inside our head. And it's one of those films that you walk out of and you start looking at things in a different way. Like I was driving home. And there was this old lady in front of me driving super slow. And at first I got angry. And then I was like, ah, she's just doing her thing. And I thought to myself, I was like, fucking anger and joy are in my head bickering over who's controlling my emotions right now.
I did the same thing. The same fucking thing. Oh my God. As I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, but that could be me. That's me. And I was doing the same thing, thinking like what my emotions would be doing in my head right now.
Yeah.
It sets it up really well.
Yeah, it's really
I think specifically like the emotions in this movie, like those characters were so cool. Like I loved all of them so much and they're so complex. And that's a thing Pixar always nails is making complex characters from what could easily be, you know, one dimensional. And they did that. Like
they make them complex while making them simple at the same time. Yeah. They're really, really smart in the way they convey their characters.
And like Joy is this, you know, she's happy and she's lovely and she loves Riley and she wants everyone to feel good. And that's her biggest flaw. She's a huge control freak, and by doing that, she's actually making, you know, our sadness feel ostracized and left out. And all of the emotions.
She puts that fucking circle down. You can't move from the circle. And she's like, what? I just have to stand here? And she like nudges her foot back inside the circle.
It's so great. And you know, you got disgust and anger and they're just all really fun. They're all really fun characters. And fear, Bill Hader is fear.
Yeah.
Mindy Kaling. Things disgust, Amy Poehler's Joy, the girl who plays Phyllis is sad. Like, it's just a fucking cool cast. And they do so well. Like, it was so great.
Is that Phyllis from The Office?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it had to be. It even looks like
that. And, you know, Riley as well is awesome. Like, she's such a cool character. I loved watching her so much. You can really feel for that for her. And, like, I really enjoyed her. And the parents. Every character in this film... In fact, I loved. Like, there was not a single character I was like, oh, fuck you. Like, what the fuck is the point of them? Like, even Bing Bong, that fucking crazy motherfucker, he was the shit, you know? Yeah. I thought he was going to be annoying and, like, a pain in the ass to watch.
Yeah, I did too. Because when he came in, he just looks like a really silly character. Because he's made, his body is like cotton candy. He's half cotton elephant, candy, half cat, half fucking
dolphin.
Yeah, he starts doing the... Yeah.
You know, but he was a really fun character as well. And I really liked that. I was so happy that all these characters were actually enjoyable to watch.
I really enjoyed all the little worker guys as well.
The little blobs, yeah.
Yeah, they're going around like just getting rid of memories. Like, oh yeah, all the names of the princesses. We don't need that.
The fucking gum ad. I love that. Oh my God, it's so creative. The fucking, like, the songs are stuck in your head because there's a worker that, That just keeps sending up the gum ad.
Yeah, he thinks it's hilarious to send up that funny jingle that you heard in the gum ad, and then she starts humming it, and it's like, and it makes Anger fucking pissed off.
So then
Riley gets pissed off because it's in her head again.
Oh man, I love that so much, and I really liked how creative this film was with everything. Like everything's so smart and complex. It was fucking like dreams. It's like a Hollywood studio. All your dreams are done as a Hollywood studio, and it's awesome. And they have like a, because there are all blobs and stuff. It's like, all right, put on the reality distortion filter, and suddenly they all look real in camera.
Well, you should explain that. Yeah, once Riley goes to sleep, she starts. It's like the movies in your head are playing. The dreams that you're having are made by this dream studio, and exactly what you said. It's a film set, and even, I like that bit where Fear's watching it, and he's like judging the acting. of the chick playing the teacher. Yeah. And then he's all like, calls that she's gonna not have her teeth are gonna fall out, and her fucking, I bet her pants are falling down as well. Oh, yep, there they are. He's like, these are so predictable.
But I love that, like, you know, you've got like the long-term memory is this huge maze of everything, and then like your abstract thought, like that connects your imagination to the rest of your mind is like this fucking crazy tunnel that if it's turned on, you just like, it's just subjective and objective and like just fucks you up. And I was like, that's so great.
Yeah.
The imagination land and just all the, it's just so well put together. All those aspects of your mind, like
train of thought.
Oh man. You know, she goes to sleep. So the train of thought stops, they're on break until she wakes up.
And then there's the dead zone, like the memory dump, where you know, that's where they get like those guys that were getting rid of memories. They just fuck off all these memories, and then they eventually just fade away as you grow older and make room for new memories. Like it's just all a really like creative and smart and fun way of showing what is going on inside our head. Like, and it all works. It all connects. There's really, like, I was trying to think of other things that they could have put in there. I don't know if there's too much that they could have. Like, they pretty much ticked every friggin' box.
That scene at the dinner table where between the three, and you see inside the guy's head and the mum and the dad's, their emotions and her, well,
this,
they're eating.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to say, is that I like that different people, the person who controls their mind, or the emotion that controls their mind, differs. Like the dad is more, his anger is his main emotion, and the mum is sadness, and you know, Riley was joy. And then you see, like, when it goes into that crazy montage in the credits, there's like all different people have like are ruled by fear, people are ruled by disgust. It's just,
I love
like,
it.
Really,
I thought it was awesome.
Cool. Yeah, it's not just and joy. It's not always just joy, because most people have stronger emotions, and you know, they're gonna take over the show, and it's just so good.
I fucking love that, like, in the wife's head they all have glasses on, and in the dad's head
mustaches.
They all have mustaches,
even and, Joy and like
and
the two
hint,
girl characters
they
have
hint them. They hint at like she hints at him to like intervene with the daughter, and he looks up because he hasn't been paying attention, and they're all watching the fucking game, like they're remembering the game. I thought that was brilliant. What did she say? I don't know, sir. No one was listening. It was just so on point. And like, put the foot down. They fucking put the
not
keys
the foot,
in.
Not the foot. Yeah.
And they slam it, and it's just like,
the foot is down. The foot is down. He's like, they're all like real fucking smug with themselves. Yeah. And then the dad's all like, yeah, I fucking handled that. And the mum's like, oh, that went so bad.
Oh man, that was so great. That was one of the just such a great scene. But there's really no scene in this film that feels flat at all. Like, I had a real interest in not just the emotional crazy side. I had a real interest in Riley, you know, in that life and how she's feeling and stuff. And
well, she wasn't
that character.
She wasn't just a vessel for these emotions. She was actually her own thing. And like we cared about her as much as the emotions did. And
I was so worried she was going to be just a vessel. Like, these emotions are her, but Riley is her own person, and these emotions help her become who she is. Oh, and I really enjoyed that.
It's Pixar. I was never worried. I knew they were going to get it. I knew they would. It's like Andy in Toy Story. Like, you know, he's pretty much just around, but we still always care about him because the toys care about him. They do that so good.
I was actually genuinely concerned. I had a real fear about these characters. Like, honestly, I had a serious, like, I thought this was going to be, Inside Out was going to be a really meh film from the trailer I saw and stuff, just because I didn't, it just seems so bland, you know, like, oh, emotions in your head. I was like, ugh,
yeah, see,
I don't know.
I'm hearing that around the traps quite a bit, actually. Like, a few people.
Oh, really?
When I went and seen Jurassic World the other day, I was with a bunch of people, and they, and Inside Out trailer came on before, and they were all like, yeah. And I was like, are you guys kidding? It's Pixar. It's about fucking emotions in your head. And like, and it was that scene. It was the scene we were just talking about with, at the dinner table.
Yeah.
And like, I thought that, like, from the moment I saw that scene, I was like, fuck, man, I'm in. This is going to be great.
I always enjoyed the scene. I just had a fear it was going to get old too quick, but it never really does. No. Like, no, I, it's just, oh, man. And like, all right. I have to make a confession here. This film made me fucking cry like 4 times. I fucking cried 4 fucking times in this film. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm so, like, I don't cry in films. It doesn't happen. I cried Night in the Museum 3 because Robin Williams died and he has a brilliant speech at the end. That was it. Other than that, I haven't cried in shit. Toy Story 3. It's always fucking kids' films. Yeah. Toy Story 3, yeah. Night in the Museum 3, and this shit. Fucking Toy Story 3, man. That's my childhood, for one. That's why I cried, because they're about to die and I'm like, oh my God, that's, you know.
The bit in Toy Story 3 that got me was when he was giving away his toys. That hit me the most. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's because I think we all go through that. It's like that point where we have to grow up and give away our toys. I didn't give away my toys. Fuck that. That's
and this,
not happening. But it's like,
and this yeah. fucking film, man, I'm like, what got me? What, there was like 4 bits. It was when Joy and Sadness, like, they, Joy gets really upset, I think. Or Sadness gets, I can't remember when it was, but it was when I cried when Joy has a breakdown, when she's stuck in the dump.
In the memory dump, yeah.
Like, I just, like, started crying when she's, like, looking at all these memories and shit, and I was like, oh, fuck, that hits home so much. And then I started crying when fucking Bing Bong does his...
He sacrifices
does his fucking
himself.
Thing. He well, sacrifices himself. Like, well, I just started
crying. Should we explain what happens there with the rocket and all that sort of thing?
Oh, okay, yeah. If you want, you can explain it.
Well, the Bing Bong was her imaginary friend as a little girl, and they created like this rocket that's run on like song. Is it? It's
yeah, it's, run on the song.
Yeah, it's run on this song that she sings to about Bing Bong, and it's supposedly going to get them to the moon at some point. And when the as she's getting older, all these old ideas are getting pushed into the memory dump, and one of them is the rocket. It gets thrown into the dump. So when Bing Bong and Joy get thrown down in there, they find the rocket, and they're like, well, we can ride this out of here. And it ends up with the two of them in there, that Bing Bong is too heavy, and they're not going to quite get out of there. So Bing Bong like jumps out at the last minute to save Joy so Riley can be happy. And that's just beautiful. It's excellent.
And I fucking cried. I cried, man.
Yeah.
I just straight wasn't like a tear. I like cried when he's like, what does he say? He says something like,
get her to the moon. Take her to the moon.
Fuck, yeah. Man.
Take her to the moon.
And then, oh, I was just like, oh my God, no. And then there's another moment where they get back and Joy was like, and Joy and Sadness, like, they do it together, and she operates the, like, she say Sadness saves the day, and like they do it together, and they're finally together, and everything feels good. And then I started crying, and then when Riley comes back and like finally lets all of her emotions out,
yeah,
and she starts,
that's
just broke. I was like, oh my God, this is just so fucking deep. Oh, and I just cried. I just bawled. I was like, oh, man. I was by myself in cinema. Thank God. Reese, I'm looking at a message right now from Reese, who's like, you saw that movie without me. Yes, I fucking did, Reese, because if you went with me, you would probably beat the shit out of me afterwards for crying 3 times. But, man, that happened, and I was like, oh, fuck. Because this is, like, relatable, and I've been through the exact same thing. Like, pretty much exactly what Riley has done. I'm sure many people have.
Right now, like, you're 100% right. It's relatable. Everybody's gone through it. And I've got a confession to make. I did tear up as well at that point, because I felt it struck home so hard with me. Like, I've just moved to Melbourne. I'm fucking an adult, but it's yeah. I'm not in the same position that she is, but moving here was like, all of a sudden, this is a new world. I don't know anyone. I miss Gold Coast. I miss, you know, my friends there. I miss what I had there. And you have to go through that grieving process. You have to get angry and then be able to move on. And that's what this movie is all about. It's about growing up and letting go of those joyful memories and joyful times and things that you had as a little kid, but still being able to hold on to them. And that's what I like, where the sadness and joy get mixed together, because it is if you look back on, you know, a fond memory when you were a kid and you were living in Brisbane or somewhere else, you were living at your old house and you're like, man, I missed that house. And man, I had so many good memories there. And you start to think to yourself, like, shit, if I just go back there, I can make those new memories. But that's not the case. You need to move on. And it's such a great message that this movie is throwing across. It's telling us to grow up but not lose who you are. That point where she just breaks down in front of the parents is just straight up fucking magic. That is a beautiful, beautiful moment. And
they just nail emotional scenes so well.
And she, like, she's so sad. It's like, man, I feel you, baby. I feel you, shit.
And then in the classroom as well, when she's saying stuff about her and she starts crying in the classroom.
I love there's the pang of joy. Like, she kind of tries to grab on to the lame joke that the teacher throws out. And you see Joy's all, like, you know, kind of faking it. Like, oh, I love this chick. She's really funny. Hopefully it'll make her happy. And then you know, sadness gets the better of her. And as she starts to talk about how great Minnesota was, it's like she's grasping at straws. And then eventually it takes over. So well done.
And I'm glad this film has female protagonists. Three female protagonists, which is really impressive as well, I gotta say. You know, it's about a girl, led by a girl, and the other girl is sad. It's like, I was really happy with that, you know?
I didn't even think about that. I don't care.
I didn't think about it either until just now, because I've got Inside Out on my computer and I'm looking at fucking Joy's smug little face. So I'm just like, oh, that was cool. Like, that was a nice little thing. I really didn't pick up on it in the film. I just noticed it then. It's nice. But this film, those emotional scenes, it just hits on the head every time. Oh my God. Can't believe I cried four times in one film.
But that's, man, kids' films do it though. Like, my sister won't go see kids' films. She refuses because there's always a super, super touching or sad moment.
I think it comes down to, a lot of the time, like kids films, especially Pixar films, are super wholesome. And when you're making a super wholesome family film, if you want that film to be good, you need to write well, you know, because you can't rely on dumb jokes or like cussing or that sort of thing. You need to have an aspect the whole family's got to enjoy. So you need to have a good writer. So Pixar always does it. Every kid's, you know, a lot of kids' films are able to do it, where they just, you can relate because it's so well written. Like fucking Toy Story 3, man.
The kids' movies, especially Pixar movies, are able to really tap into that, the child in all of us. And when we were all kids, we cared about our stuffed animals. We cared, like, everything had feelings to us. Well, at least to me, I remember that being like a thing. Like, everything, like, I feel bad because I left that one piece of Nutri-Grain on the floor and I didn't eat it. And all it wanted in its life was to be eaten. You know, I remember that being a thing. So that's, they're able to tap into to that kid in us who cares. And by making such great, complex, lovable characters, we care about everything that happens to them. And when something does, you know, become a cog in the works, it's a spanner in the cog in the works. You know, it's devastating. And because we love these characters so much, like you said, every character in this movie I cared about. Even the dad, who was like an angry man, but he's, you know, I see it from his point of view as well, because he's just trying to, you know, look after his family.
I didn't think he was angry.
Well, no, well, he's ruled by anger. That's his main emotion. Like, he's not really an angry guy, but he's a stressed out dude trying to figure out, the fucking, the mover van's not there. His investors are pulling out of whatever job he does. You know, all that. Like, he's stressing about all these other things, and he's not spending probably as much time with Riley as he should. And that's where the mum gets annoyed, and it all comes back, and you feel for every one of them. That dinner table scene is perfect because it shows all different sides of the coin. It's like, it's just fantastic. Like, cause we care about every single one of them. It's just, yeah. Well done. Well done, Pixar.
Yeah. Oh man, this fucking movie. I'm just so impressed. It does it. It's just, do you want to say anything else about this film?
I don't know. I like the way that all the memories are portrayed as marbles. That's really cool, and that they can be just played like a tablet.
it had a really cool aesthetic to it. Like, this film looks really funky inside your head, and it's got this really wacky vibe to it.
Imagination Land would be the greatest place in the world.
Oh my god!
Oh, what about Abstract Thought? That was such a cool little scene where they turn into like little paper mache things.
Then the 2D.
And that, yeah, they have to, just fall on your face so you can fit through the small gap.
Oh man.
Yeah, but even Sadness is just such a beautiful character as well. Like, I love how she's just slinking around, and there's that one bit where she Joy is dragging her through long-term memory. And there's a point where they're about to go again. Sadness jumps on the ground and just lifts her foot.
I'm ready.
Oh man. Yeah.
It's just so well executed. It's just, everything about it is just well done. I think there's not really any aspect that really felt flat at all to me, which was really impressive. Bill Hader as Fear was great. Like, he was so funny. Mindy Kaling is disgusted.
Amy Poehler suited Joy so well too.
Well, because, it's Leslie Knope. It's just Leslie Knope.
Yeah, exactly. It's just her positive. She's just always positive, yeah. and it eventually breaks her down as well. Which, really, really fun. All right, well, let's wrap it up.
Yeah, look, I fucking love this film so much. I had a real fear that it was going to be another sort of Monsters University and be good, but not really impress me too much. It was just something about this film that really didn't sell me. So I was kind of hoping The Good Dinosaur, the next one coming up, was going to be the one that I was like, fuck yeah, this is Pixar. This is Pixar, baby!
When is that supposed to come out?
That's November, I think.
Okay, so it is this year.
Yeah, it's this year. They're both out this year. And then I was blown away. Like, this is just one, this is one of my favorite Pixar films, and at the moment, probably one of my favorite films, because there's never been a film that has made me feel the way this film does. Like, I just relate to this film so much, and I just feel so many different things watching it, and it was so, it's just so special to me now, and I want to see it again. Like, I just want to go and see this film again as soon as I can, because I had such a fun time watching it. It just does everything right. The characters are fantastic. It just felt like Pixar. Everything about it felt like the reason I love Pixar so much, and I'm so happy that it did, and I'm so, so glad that this film is everything it built itself up to be, because it was such an impressive piece of work, and I'm in love with it so much. This is a 4 out of 5.
Very nice. I agree. This, man, for me at least, the last few weeks have just been fucking fantastic for movies that have been coming out in the cinema.
Mad Max, Inside Out, Entourage. Oh,
yeah. If we want to go back, we want to go back to Mad Max. We've had that, which I gave a 5. Fucking Entourage was a 4. Jurassic World, a 4.5. And now this one is just, it's just such a great, this has been a good year, for movies. But this one has touched me the most. And it's, you're exactly right. I think that everybody will relate to this in some way, because whether it's the dad, the mum, Riley, everyone's been through a point where they've had to come to a new thing, a new area, make new friends, new jobs, new sports. Like, we all feel that at some point, the emotions that she goes through, and to be able to put faces to them is just amazing. Because I don't think I'll be able to think about emotion in the same way ever again. I'm always going to think about the little people in my head now, you know, or the little people that are going through somebody else's head. I'm looking at the little old lady who was driving really slow, and think I was like, oh, I wonder if she's ruled by sadness or disgust. Maybe she's one of those people. Maybe she's one of those old ladies who just hates the world. You know, I'm starting to think like this, and to be able to walk out of a movie and think differently, that is just fucking, you've knocked it out of the ballpark. That is a fantastic thing. Yeah, I'm finding it really hard to fault this movie at all. I don't know. I can't say anything. It's a 4.5 for me.
Boom, bam, Sam. There you go. Go watch Inside Out. We both recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the love of God.
And now I'm going to go see Minions later. Ooh, and I'm excited for that. That'll be a whole different thing, but I know that'll be fun. But it just, yeah, I can't see
anything. There's no way Minions anything is going to be better than this film.
There's no way anything will be able, yeah, will be a strong in the narrative until maybe the new, what is it, the new dinosaur, what's it called,
the good dinosaur
the good dinosaur. So I'm actually really excited now that we get two Pixar movies in one year. Fucking, that's fucking awesome. And it's about dinosaurs. Wow.
This is what happens when you don't fucking make a film to be franchised as well. Like, there is no way you watch this is a fucking, this is such a brilliant narrative, you know. One of my issues with DreamWorks is that they it's make one sequel. Good film,
yeah,
and you kind of feel exactly what they're doing straight away. They're like, oh, there's a sequel. Madagascar 2, 3, 4, fucking Shrek 4, the Despicable Me 3 is what this is at the moment, like Minions.
Yeah.
Like, it's just franchise. And I feel like this is a film that doesn't need a sequel. In fact, no film, Pixar films need a sequel, and their worst film was a fucking sequel. And when they kind of consider a sequel, it never feels overdone to me. Like, it never feels they're making it for money. No, except
they,
for
the they fact make that, it for the reason that they can advance the story. That's it. Like, I think this could definitely have a sequel, but it wasn't made to have a sequel. Yeah, you're right.
Toy Story 4 though, that pisses me off. I really hope that doesn't exist. I know it's like
it already being... does.
it's happening. Why? Don't fuck it up. Oh my God! You made three amazing. I don't want it. I don't want it anymore. Don't wreck this for me, you fuckers.
Well, we'll see what they come out. We'll see what they come out with. It is Pixar. Like, come on.
Yeah, but it's a fourth one. Like, I know it'll probably be great too and well written. But like, Toy Story 3 was just perfection. Don't take that away from me. But you know, Inside Out, it's just a fantastic film, and I do recommend. What are we watching? It'll be like weeks from now, like 3 weeks from now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, we're not recording anything for 3 weeks because I'm away. So you can get a little bit of a break after four movies in a row. So unfortunately, that means that we're not going to be reviewing the next two movies that come out, which I think are Ted 2 and Terminator, which, fuck, I would have loved to have talked about both of those. We'll try and get some little reviews in there somehow. Like, I'm sure. Are you going to go see Ted?
Probably. I don't know. I like movies. we're the same person. Of course I'm going to go see Ted.
Yeah. All right. Well, we might be able to slot in like a real quick 5-minute review on that in our next one that we record. But coming over the next few weeks, we've got a few special editions, if you will, coming up. One will be a review and one is something completely different. But we'll leave it up to you guys to find out what's coming. I think you're going to like it.
I think you'll like it too. I reckon they were good fun, both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. We've already recorded them. Because we
So even if you don't want it to happen, fuck you.
That's right. But I'm not sure what the movie is that we're coming back to record. I think it's something like Ant-Man or Magic Mike or something like that. But until then, we're going to have a holiday. But still tune in every week. Go back and check out our other reviews, like we did Jurassic World last week. We've done Mad Max. We've got pretty much anything in the last 43 weeks. we've reviewed like the bigger movies of that time. So check out our website. Go to Podbean and search Fishing Connoisseur Movie, or just get onto our Facebook site, or even check us out on iTunes. The whole catalog's there, and it's all free.
Free content? You're crazy.
All right, well, let's get out of here, Connor. It's time to have a holiday.
Play the music, Fish.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connoisseur Movie. Fish and Connoisseur Movie does not own any rights to the film Inside Out, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track, More Than a Feeling, is performed by Boston.